I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. It's not often we talk about drainage pipes on this podcast, but today I'll be speaking to Edward Naylor from the Yorkshire Flower Pot Company about the importance of clay containing iron in flower pots, and how it's also used in our sewer system. My thanks to Gardening Direct, sponsor of this podcast. Not the best weekend gardening. It rained pretty well all day last Saturday. I don't like digging heavy soil when it's raining or when it's really wet. I'd much rather have the surface dry a bit as you turn it. Then it seems to crumble and be able to handle it much easier. But there we are. Needs must when the devil drives. And at Hyde Hall last weekend, we had to get one or two beds dug and ready for planting. I mean, hot, dry weather last month and then lots of rain actually did do something quite remarkable. As I drive about, I can see rings of field mushrooms in quantities I don't remember seeing since childhood. And I'm talking back in the 1940s, early 50s. And there are some really beautiful field mushrooms to be picked and eaten, he says, having had some fried for dinner last night. And so please do keep an eye out for field mushrooms growing in this lovely, dewy, moist sort of conditions that we've got. And if you want to know how to be sure, well, when you pick a field mushroom, it will smell of mushrooms. If you turn them up, the young ones, they have the lovely pink gill just around the stem. And of course, you can peel them. The white top skin will peel off. And if you've gathered mushrooms near the road, it's probably a good thing anyhow to peel that off. So there we are. Go out foraging and see if you can find a really good meal of fresh mushrooms. There's no let up in the news coming our way as far as the gardening world is concerned. I was interested to read that garden waste collection by 140 local authorities is free, while a number of other local councils charge anything from £22 to £96 a year, with Harlow the highest, charging £96. Oh, and Worthing, £85. Councils say gardeners should compost their own. I agree with that. Makes no sense to me to burn fossil fuel collecting our green garden waste, carting it away and then having to cart it back either to gardens or onto agricultural land. I mean, even if you're not a gardener, all you've got to do is dig a hole and tip the vegetable waste and whatever else you've got and then just cover it with soil, and it breaks down and improves the soil. I'm interested to see the changes too in the Wyvale Garden Centres, all 145 now sold to 57 different operators. And really, it's giving quite a boost to gardening generally. In our local area, for example, a garden centre called Long Acres, I think it's the biggest garden centre in the country in Surrey, have now taken over the Wyvale Springfield Chelmsford Garden Centre. A friend went in to buy plants and was surprised how cheap they were. You know, Long Acres have a reputation for value for money. I also noticed that their potting compost is 100% peat, Well, we won't go into that argument, but that's what I'm looking for. I want a really good potting compost that is 100% peat, so I welcome the arrival of Long Acres in Springfields. But what about home production? I mean, there's news that £120 million are going to be spent on UK salad greenhouses. There are two big new units, one at Norwich and the other at Bury St Edmunds, that will produce 12% of the UK's tomatoes when in full production, and they reckon to be in production next year. The interesting part to this story is that it's going to be heated, the glasshouses are going to be heated, with heat pumps, extracting waste heat from Anglian Water's recycling centres. So presumably when we pull the plug in the sink and the hot water goes down into the drainage system, somebody at the other end is pulling the heat out to grow tomatoes. There will be some fuel burnt to power the pumps, but of course that releases CO2, which goes into the greenhouses to make the tomatoes grow better and crop more heavily. It's going to create 360 permanent jobs and 120 seasonal ones. So that's good news. More home production. And it'll reduce carbon emissions and the resulting cooler water that outflows into rivers will benefit the environment. That's not the only one. A Lincolnshire-based salad grower has just secured a £900,000 funding to grow salads hydroponically year-round. It will use just 10% of the water that's applied to crops grown in the open ground. You know, it is surprising how many developments and advances are being made, and you never really hear much about them. I mean, there's a trial of a new automated weed-killing robot that reduces herbicide spray by up to 95%. Apparently, this robot just goes along over the crops. It's called the Eye Spot, and where it spots a weed, it just directs a precise quantity of weed killer onto that leaf, and that's all. It eliminates any harm to non-target organisms. So there we are. We live in a very fast-changing and moving world. But the demand for basic advice still stays very much the case. And at a recent flower show, I was stopped by a couple who wanted advice on a small tree for a small garden, and they thought it'd be rather nice to have an apple. And there's no doubt that is a good idea. You know, an apple tree has pretty blossom in the spring, has a nice fruit to pick in the autumn, and many of them have very attractive autumn-coloured foliage. And when I mentioned a family tree, they'd never heard of it. Now, a family tree is one trunk, but with several different varieties on it. And if you've only got space for one tree, it's absolutely perfect for you. I suggested that they got in touch with a company called Pomona Fruits, who offer a family tree with the varieties Braeburn, Lord Lambourne and Bountiful on it. Now, Bountiful, of course, is a cooking apple. Its season is September to November. Lord Lambourne is a very nice eating apple, and that's in season from September to November. And Braeburn, a variety that most of you will know, I'm sure, that is quite late. You pick it, it really late October evening to November, and that will keep from December to March. So one family tree, the perfect answer if you've only got space for one tree in the garden. At present, I'm very busy sorting out all the stuff that I've got in pots, repotting those where they're perennial and the pot is absolutely full of root, potting on smaller stuff, a lot of seed-raised perennials and some cuttings that were taken in August, just sorting through, getting them all tidied up and under a bit of cover in many cases to protect them from too much wet. I don't understand. Every time I pick up a plastic pot or a tray the slugs and snails seem to love accumulating under it. Why is that? I suppose it's dark and it's damp, but it's just plastic they seem to go for.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Shrinking garden size and the trend today to decorate little patio areas and back gardens means that we have an awful lot of containers. And at a trade show recently, I met a representative from Yorkshire Flower Pots. Hadn't really heard about them before, my ignorance, but had a very nice chat with Edward Naylor. And Edward's on the line today. Edward, what's your role at the Yorkshire Flower Pot Company, and what's the sort of history of the company?
Well, Peter, we actually started, if you go back five generations, as a civil engineering contractor, and my great-great-grandfather built structures for the railway industry in the mid-1800s. And he got a commission to build a railway viaduct in a place called Denby Dale, which is between Barnsley and Huddersfield. And built the most impressive, in fact, it's still in operation today, this stone viaduct. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very successful project. He lost money on it. But while he was digging out the foundations for this viaduct, he found a very rich seam of clay. So his son, who was my great-grandfather, who was quite an enterprising young man, said, well, never mind, Dad, you've lost money on the contract, but we can take this clay and start making bricks and pipes. So in 1890, Naylor Brothers Clayware Limited was founded in Denby Dale. And so I suppose my role is I'm the fourth generation of Naylors to run the business. I'm the chief executive of the Naylor Group. We've obviously diversified since 1890. I mean, we still manufacture clay products, clay pipes for drainage purposes, but importantly, flower pots, the Yorkshire Flower Pot Company, which you alluded to. And we've also got one or two operations in other areas. We manufacture plastic and concrete product, but it's very much the Yorkshire Flower Pot business, which is dear to our heart in the gardening field.
Yes, I can understand that. And the clay, are you still drawing from the same source?
Yes, we've got three quarries locally. I think the furthest is under 10 miles away. It's a mixture. I always regard clay preparation as a little bit like cocktail mixing. You have a quite a delicate blend. You need clays which are with what we use the term plastic. You add water to them and they're easy to extrude. You want clays that are hard so you get that durability. So what we do is we do the equivalent of blending together clays and shales, just in the same way as if you were a cocktail mixer, you'd be mixing a cocktail, but trying not to have too much creme de menthe in there.
But you certainly won't be shaking the clay up.
No, it must be.
It must be quite difficult, you know. Clay's a tough, intractable sort of raw material, isn't it?
It's quite a complex process because we bring in the clays and shales from these three different quarries and we sort of layer them up and then sort of mix and blend them. And by the time that the clay raw material hits our manufacturing process, it's really a sort of fine dust, a little bit like talcum powder, which we then add water to and extrude through an extruder or a press. So that's the nature of the process. But it's not as easy as just sort of lobbing any old stuff out of the ground into a machine. It's there's really quite a lot of science to it.
And it actually starts dry. I mean, that hadn't entered my head.
Yes, that's right. So we introduce water at the point of extrusion, again, that's a sort of carefully controlled process. So you get, the raw material isn't too sloppy. It needs to be sort of firm enough to retain its shape when you extrude or press it, but not so firm that you can't get it to form. So yes, it's quite an interesting process, and we have an interesting mixture. I think because Nailers is a sort of fourth generation family business, what we've tried to do is to bring in some new technology. I mean, we've got sort of robots and automated machinery, but we've also got traditional skills. So with the volume items, they might be sort of rather automated and sort of not quite mass produced, but certainly they sort of fly past you at a rapid rate. With the special commissions, I mean, we do some quite outstanding large pots for things like Stately Homes, and those are literally made by hand. I mean, we'll literally have a large slab of clay, and our hand molders will literally sort of slice a piece of that clay off and press that into a mold, which really means that we can do anything. I mean, we can manufacture pots that are sort of 2 meters high, for example, if that's something that is needed for a special commission.
How could we see that being done, Edward? That's fascinating. I mean, has it been on television?
Yes, we were actually on CBeebies, the kids' television program, and so we had a team from CBeebies. I think that footage is still out there on YouTube somewhere. So if you put CBeebies garden pots, I suspect you'll be able to find it on YouTube. But yes, the CBeebies presenters were most sort of fascinated with this sort of dust coming in at one side of the factory and these beautiful pink pots coming out at the other end.
It is a remarkable story. Now, when we met, you said that the presence of iron in some of the clays helped give it strength, because we as gardeners, of course, are very uneasy about terracotta pots which freeze and break. Now, what's the story on strength of clays?
Yes, I think, again, it's one of the benefits of having been around for a lot of years. I mean, when we started as a clay pipe maker, the challenge that we had was that we needed to produce pipes which were very strong, which weren't porous, and which you could sort of bury in the ground. I mean, you know, some of our pipes will be buried 20 metres under the ground, or will be buried at shallow depths but have great JCBs and so on driving over them. So really our whole last sort of 125, 130 years has been around developing that expertise. And what we have is a process called vitrification, which is effective. It's a bit like you form a sort of glass type body to our product, which makes it non-porous. And if you take a cross section of our clay products, you find an iron core in there, which is non-porous. So basically, it means that whereas some of the overseas ceramics, for example, don't have that. You know, they literally are expanding, contracting. You know, if you put soil in a lower quality pot, the soil will expand and contract, and will put a strain on the pot, which may crack it. With ours, you haven't got that. You've got this sort of iron core to the pot, and it's as a result of that we give a lifetime frostproof guarantee to our pots. I think we're the only people in the world, as I understand it, that will guarantee our flower pot for life because of this iron core, which effectively acts as a barrier to frost damage. Coupled with that also is the high temperatures we fire to. I mean, we fire our ceramic products to over 1,000 degrees centigrade. What you have is a very strong, very water-resistant product, which allows us to withstand the sort of worst of the British weather. So so that really is the big sort of selling point of our pots. They're made in Britain for a British climate, rather than being made in, you know, Asia or whatever, for a climate that might look very different to ours.
Yeah, it would. Why haven't I known more about this before? You know, I've been in the garden business quite a long time, and it seems amazing that I've missed Yorkshire flower pots.
Yeah. I think the word is gradually spreading. I mean, what we're pleased about. I think generally people don't go into a garden centre and say, you know, I want a Yorkshire flower pot. They sort of go in and have a look at the display on the shelf, and they might not even sort of know where the pots that are on display are from. But we are starting to get people becoming aware of this. I think pretty much every serious gardener has got some disastrous story of a much loved shrub or plant or whatever that they've put in a pot and maybe sort of got away for Christmas and come back and they found a cracked pot and a load of rubble and their much loved plant sort of in a heap in the driveway. So I think gradually the word is spreading that you don't have to accept that that pots have a shelf life, that that they are vulnerable to poor weather. And you know, we are getting feedback of people going into their local garden centre and saying, I would like a Yorkshire flower pot, please, which is feels like real progress to us.
Well, hopefully some of our listeners will add to that army of people looking for Yorkshire flower pots. Now, what are the most popular of the garden range that you're offering? I mean, I have a note here, Wensleydale churn.
Yes. Yeah, I think we would describe ourselves as sort of makers of a sort of classic British shape. So you know, things like, you know, the long tom is a traditional British shape that's been around for centuries. You know, the bell pot again is
But just a minute, the long tom. Goodness, you're taking me back now. When I worked in a nursery in 1952, all the clematis were grown in long toms, you know, quite a tall pot, about 4 inches across the top and narrow-based. Boy, did they topple over if you weren't careful.
Yeah, I think we've got, we've been very careful in our designs. I think our long toms are nicely proportioned. So they reflect the traditional shape, but they don't fall over. I think similarly, you know, when we're at trade shows and so on and showing off our pots, we encourage people to sort of pick up a Yorkshire flower pot and then pick up an imported pot. It might be a pot from Italy or a pot from the Far East. And compare them. And ours are dense and solid and heavy in a way that the imported pots aren't. So if you've had experience of things toppling over, I would suspect it's been with a thinner, lighter imported pot rather than a solid British pot. So, I mean, you know, those are the sort of shapes that we major on, the sort of long tom, the bell pot, we make a rhubarb forcer. And what we try and do is just sort of refresh our range. So the Wensleydale churn and so on. We've introduced five new pots this year, just to give people a bit of variation. So I think without it doing anything sort of too mad or trendy, we try and keep refreshing the range, so there's sort of new things on display at garden centres for people who are loyal Yorkshire flower pot customers, of which thankfully there are more and more. The other thing we're also finding, incidentally, is a growing appetite for our pots overseas. I mean, obviously, by the time you transport a Yorkshire flower pot to somewhere like America or Japan, we've had some good business from, Scandinavia, we've had good business from, it's obviously a lot more expensive. But I think discerning gardeners in those sort of parts of the world are prepared to pay more for a pot which is sort of robust. I think they like the robustness, the frost resistance. I think that's particularly a theme in Scandinavia. And the Made in Britain thing, I think, works. I think, you know, we are in Britain regarded as being good gardeners. And so I think a garden product which comes from the UK is seen as something to be admired and cherished and bought as a result.
If our listeners want to get some idea of the shapes and sizes and things, is there a website where they can see these pictures?
If they go on to yorkshireflowerpots.co.uk. So there are pictures of all our pots and beautifully planted up pots and so on. And on there is also a list of the garden centres where they can get hold of them. And there are a lot of garden centres doing our pots. I think most of the upmarket garden centres would have the Yorkshire flower pot as being the sort of quality end of their offering. There's very nice centres out there. I think I was at the RHS at Wisley the other day, and they've got an absolutely fantastic display of Yorkshire flower pots. So yes, they're not too hard to get hold of. There is, as I say, a list on our website of where they are available.
Finally, Edward, what about the Yorkshire punk?
it's quite funny. This is the Yorkshire punk is one of our five new pots that I mentioned, and we were quite amused when we were doing product development work and looking at sort of really historic records of all the sort of different shapes and sizes. And the Yorkshire punk is actually the name of a traditional pot. I think this sort of dates back over 100 years. When we found that the Yorkshire punk was something with some sort of gardening history, we thought, well, we've got to have that as a name. So, and I was quite amused. I think the people coming onto our stand at the recent trade show at the NEC, they thought we were just being trendy, but actually Yorkshire punk is actually a traditional shape. So that's we get 0 out of 10 for innovation, but it is a nice name and a good story.
It is indeed a memorable name, Edward. It's a great story. You know, pleased to hear that UK production continues over all those generations and is developing sales abroad. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're most welcome, Peter. Very nice to speak to you.
What's on? Well, on Saturday the 19th of October, it's Apple Day. And for those of you who are thinking about buying an apple tree, they're usually great places to go. For example, at our farm shop just down the road, Lathcotes, they'll have 30 or 40 different kinds of apples for people to taste, and you might as well grow something that you like the taste of. So Apple Day, just go on the web or local papers, find out your nearest local sponsor of Apple Days, and you should have quite a nice morning or afternoon out. Brogdale in Kent is a great place to go. You know, they've got the whole library of 2,000 different varieties. So that would be a must-do at some stage. And my tailpiece is a letter from a reader in Amateur Gardening, but it's repeated, apparently, from a letter received in 1977. Graham Clark seems to be digging up all these rather interesting and fascinating things, and this letter had a memorable question, he says. I'm a regular reader of AG and would be grateful for some advice on cooking apple trees. Not sure how you'd get the tree in the pot. My thanks to Gardening Direct, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.